Guys, it's Christmas. It's Christmas. Again. I feel like we just had it, though, don't you? But I love it. It's my favorite time of year. It really is. I think I love everything about it, to be honest with you. I like the songs. I like the snow. We didn't get that this year, and I know most of you are really happy about that, but I could have used some snow. I was born and raised in Alaska. I do like snow for Christmas, but that's okay. But I even like some of the things like I like Santa Claus. I like Frosty. I like those iconic symbols of the season. I really do. I do think, however, and this may sound a little cliche, but I do think that somewhere along the line, we have kind of lost the true meaning of Christmas. And we hear this every year. And hopefully what I'm about to say resonates with you, even if you've heard it before. Please don't shut your ears off. I think it's important. I'm not talking about simply the commercialism of the season that seems to bombard us earlier and earlier every year. You know, I mean, it was before Halloween this year that I saw Christmas stuff in the stores. It's crazy. Crazy. But it's not just that. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, even for some of us who know why we celebrate Christmas, I think maybe we don't always give it the credit that it's due. Sometimes I think that we add Jesus to our mix of Christmas fare, and Jesus ends up becoming just another iconic symbol of the season. But he's so much more than that, and he's worth much more attention than that alone. I think a lot of times, this is really bothering me. Sorry. That's going to bother me all night if I keep looking at that. So I think that sometimes we look at Jesus and this birth of this baby and this manger as the beginning. I've heard it before. I've heard, Jesus started from humble beginnings, or Jesus started from such glorious beginnings, depending on how you want to look at that. But what I want you to know tonight is that Christmas is not the beginning of the story. Does anybody know that? Christmas is not the beginning of the story. We like to think of it sometimes as the beginning, but it is not the beginning, and it's not the end. Christmas actually is a point in time somewhere in the middle of the most important story that you could ever, ever hear. And we are illuminated to that place of the story. We are illuminated to that in John 1. The Apostle John, in his gospel account, begins differently than any other gospel in the Bible. He doesn't talk about Jesus in the manger, doesn't talk about the events surrounding his birth, and that's what we're used to hearing around this time of year. He talks about something totally different. He tells you exactly who Jesus is, and it's amazing. He starts out in verse 1, he says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So John doesn't even say the word Jesus, okay? So the people who are listening to this, he's not giving it up. He's actually keeping that for the end. I'm going to give you a little spoiler alert. The word is Jesus, because we don't have time. We only have 3 or 4 hours, like I said, so we're going to have to get this going. But the word is Jesus, okay? But to them, the people that were listening, or reading, rather, what John had written, to them, the word was very important. He chose his words wisely, as the case may be. You see, he had two audiences. He had Greeks and he had Jews. To the Jews, the word, the whole concept of the word, was basically was God himself. They think that God can be completely and perfectly represented in his word. That's kind of like what I think too. I think you can take God's word to the bank. So when John said, in the beginning was the word, they knew exactly what he was talking about. Now, the Greeks had a little bit different idea of this. Similar, though, but a little bit different. To them, the word, or the Greek word for that, is logos, and that's actually what the word is, word here, word, is logos. Okay, and so to Greeks, logos, or the word, was ultimate and supreme reason. They actually took that even further into thinking that the word is the ordering factor in the world, the one that created reason and order. That's what the Greeks thought of as word. And so when John said, I'm going to introduce you to this person, and he's called the word. Jews, I know what you think of the word. Greeks, I know what you think of the word. But let me tell you something. I know the word, and I'm going to tell you who he is. So he illuminates us to the origins of the word. He says, in the beginning was the word. Does that sound familiar to you, in the beginning? Anybody ever read a Bible? Anybody? Yeah, hopefully lots of hands just went up. Yes, I love it. Look at Genesis 1:1. What does Genesis 1:1 say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning. So here, John very purposely says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Remember, he's talking about Jesus here. Understand this, guys. Jesus is eternal. Christmas is not the beginning of the story because Jesus is the beginning. Now listen to this. He says, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So he's eternal. We see that he is God. Remember in verse 2 it says he was with God in the beginning. The word was with God and the word was God. So Jesus is eternal. Jesus is God. Jesus is creator. Everything you see around you, Jesus created. He did good. He does good. He is the creator of life. He's the creator of light. We see that in the next verse. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Oh, I love that. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. So Jesus is eternal. Jesus is God. Jesus is creator. And Jesus is a giver. Jesus is a giver. Jesus gives life and light. Isn't that amazing? Think about this, guys. This is God. This is the creator of the universe. This is the God I like to say, and not that I stole this from somebody actually, but, if you apologize to him for me, if you ever see him, this is the God who said, let there be light, and the sun came out of his mouth. This is Jesus sleeping in a manger. This is God, and he wants to give us life and light. It says that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Why is it, if Jesus wants to give life and light, why do we reject it? Who would reject that? Who would want to reject that? Because doesn't it stand to reason that if light and light are in Jesus, then without Jesus is death and darkness? Because you see, if Jesus creates life and light, then that means that anything in the earth, anything in the world that you see that resembles life, that resembles light, has its origins in Christ. And without him is death and darkness. You know, death and darkness is funny to me because pretty much that's the one thing, or two things rather, that mankind seems to be pre-programmed to be afraid of. Death and darkness. Yeah, maybe there's some that are a little more cavalier than that, that don't fear death and darkness. And maybe as you get older, you become more desensitized to it. But as a base fear, that's generally the first, death and darkness. And Jesus dispels that death and darkness. If you look further on in John chapter 9, it says that this is true light that gives light to everyone, and it was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. His own did not receive him. So the truth of the matter is that Jesus is not received all the time. His own did not receive him. If you look back at the Greek scholars and what they think about that particular passage right there, they say that a really true sense of that is that Jesus came home. Okay? It says Jesus came to his own. Jesus came home and was rejected in his own home. He was rejected. So why would we do that? Why would a person reject the light and life that Jesus brings? I'll tell you why. It actually tells you why right here. It says that the world did not recognize him. They didn't recognize the light and the life. And why do you think that is? I think it's because they didn't recognize the death and the darkness that had consumed them. You know, sin is pleasurable for a season, right? It's pleasurable for a time. And maybe sometimes even seems like light and life for a while. But the word tells us that sin leads to death and darkness. But Jesus has come to dispel that. There's good news, though. Verse 12 tells us, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Think about that for a moment. I'll say it again. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So, you have a choice. There's a choice to make. You can receive Jesus. You can reject Jesus. It's a choice that is given to us. For those that will receive Jesus, he has given us the right to become children of God. That's an amazing thing. And look at this. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. See, this is a work of God in our lives. God doesn't call us to some self-help gospel. He doesn't call us to, choose my words wisely. He doesn't call us to be a better you. He doesn't call you to have this fixed up face, this fixed up exterior, to have this physical prosperity, this physical wealth. That may not be what he calls you to. He calls you to be born of him. It's a reprogramming. A reprogramming. You know, I like the fact that John used the word here and then reached two separate huge groups of people by taking something that was culturally understandable to them and using it to spread the gospel. I think God is so like that, don't you? I think that he sees that and says, hey, you know, you computer programmer, Jesus to you computer programmer, he is the ultimate reprogrammer of your hard drive. You know, I think he does that. I think he relates to you any place you are. Any place you are, there's no place that you can be that God can't relate to you and that Jesus doesn't fit. God wants to transform us. He wants to reprogram our minds. And he can do that if you receive Jesus. So then here we come. I'm going to make this short. Here we come. This is it. You guys ready? This is the moment. This is the moment. This is the moment of Christmas right here. Verse 14, we just read it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And there is that precious moment in the middle of the story, that precious moment where Jesus added humanity to his deity and became one of us to live a sinless life because we can't. I don't know, maybe one of you can. Is somebody sinless? No, you're not. And neither am I. But Jesus was. He lived that sinless life, and then he paid the ultimate price for our sins on the cross. He died for us. So that if we receive him, we can have eternal life. Jesus is eternal. He didn't die so we could have this fantastic thing with lots of friends going on here and this over here and be Mr. Popular and Mrs. Popular. He died for eternal life, something so much more important. That's what he died for. He became human. He humbled himself. I mean, if you were God of the universe, you think that you would maybe do the same thing? I'm not so sure I would. But I thank God that Jesus did. Amen? You know, as we go through this season, I want you to remember why we celebrate. And not just that Jesus is the reason for this season. That's nice and it's catchy and everything. But understand who Jesus is. Who he is that we celebrate. Why we celebrate Jesus as the reason for the season. Christmas is not the beginning of the story, and it's surely not the end, because we're going to see the end someday, and the end goes on for eternity as well. Isn't that amazing? It's eternal life. It's not the beginning or the end, because Jesus is both the beginning and the end. And if you haven't received Jesus, then tonight is your night. It is your night. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. This is the time. This is the time. And really, anybody after church who has not received Jesus, I'm not going to make a big fanfare of it right now, but come talk to me. And or I know she'll probably talk to you. Jetty, maybe. Yeah, thumbs up. So go find somebody and say, hey, I want to receive Jesus. And if that person doesn't know how to help you do that, they'll come find somebody who does. Okay? All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for humbling yourself, for casting off your kingliness for a time to become like one of us. To wrap yourself in flesh and live a life here on earth, a sinless life, Lord, one that would be sufficient, all sufficient, for a sacrifice for our sins, and a life also that would prove and go to show us how to live our lives. God, as we look at your life here on earth, we see that we so desperately need a Savior because we don't measure up. And we thank you and we praise you for your grace. We thank you for measuring up for all of us. Lord, as we go about the season, I just ask that your blessing would be on each one of us, Lord. As we go to our homes, God, I ask that you would fill our homes with warmth, with glad tidings, with love, with joy, most of all with your peace. And God, I just ask that you would be very, very, very real to us this Christmas season. In Jesus' name, amen.